blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 104, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Make me, O Lord, to know my end. Teach me the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and turn from pride and sinful ways. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 104.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour will be from the Gospel according to Mark, and thereof chapter 9, beginning at verse 38. But let us first make confession with the Church of all ages in the words of the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 9, beginning at verse 38, up to and including verse 50. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, eternal, most just and righteous, but also most long-suffering, merciful, good and gracious God, who with thy great glory dwellest above in all thy majesty, wherein a mortal man is less able to look upon thee than we are the sun. But thou who dost humble thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and indeed who dost with thy Holy Spirit dost dwell amongst those that are here below, O we, as miserable wretched creatures here below do try to open our sinful and our unclean lips. Because we are in thy house and thou dost command us to ask of thee, and thou dost promise to grant it to those who ask it of thee. And Lord, thou knowest that we do not know even how to ask of thee aright and with a heart that is right, because we are so filled with all that is carnal, and we are so of the earth, earthy. But wilt thou forgive and take away all that is amiss in our asking, and that we may, as a miserable and sinful creature, with all of our guilt and in all of our pollution and in all of our uncleanness, oh, that we may be given just a cry to thee, the Son of God, who indeed was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and descended into hell. But Lord, thou hast also risen again from the dead, and art ascended into heaven, and there thou dost sit on the right hand of thy Father, and that thou may give unto thy own church all that thou hast bought for them, in all that thou hast done for them. Oh, we may beseech thee that thou wouldest look also upon us and upon our children in the place where thou art. For thou art able to send thy Holy Spirit from thy throne in a moment to enter into our hearts with great power, even as we are those who do sleep on the top of a mast and who lie down in the midst of the sea, not realizing the great danger that we are in, that at any moment we can have the thread of our life cut off, and that we would descend into that eternal and that bottomless pit. And Lord, thou knowest that there is nothing that we can say, that we can read, that can awaken us except for thy Holy Spirit, and that thou wouldst come unto us and that thou wouldst speak with great power. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, that thou mayst so do, even in this very hour, and that we may be awakened from the death sleep that we sleep in, and that we may be given hearts that may cry out under all our wretchedness and in our misery. Oh, that we may be given eyes, O Lord, to see it, that we may be given hearts to feel it, and that we may be given affections within that may cry out under it, that we could not miss thee any more. Oh, that we might seek with all our heart and our soul that portion that we cannot miss as we are traveling quickly to our long home. Do instruct us, both young and old together, in these most necessary things. And because time, as an ever-rolling stream, is bearing all its sons away, oh, that we may be given then to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, and that we may be filled, and that we may be spared by thee, from descending into that eternal pit where hope shall never come. O Lord, wilt thou make us even as a little child, a child in the things of thee, or that we may be made teachable by thee and by thy Holy Spirit, that our heart may be made as clay, and that we may be brought down in all our own self, and that we may be instructed in our need, or that we may be given also a cup of cold water. O thou who dost take care of all of thy own people, and thou knowest where each and every one of them are. O thou carest for them, and thou dost say, those that would give them a cup of cold water, and they shall in no wise lose their reward. But who will offend one of those little ones? Oh, then it is better that a millstone would be hanged about his neck and that he was cast into the sea. Oh, Lord, they are the apple of thine eye, and whoso toucheth the apple of thine eye, oh, Lord, they shall be also judged by thee. We can read it of Job. Satan did say, thou hast set a hedge about him, and how true that it was. No one, not the devil himself, could touch thy Job. O Lord, no one can touch thy people. O that we may receive also a desire to be brought into that fold of that great shepherd. And because there is not a lion, and there is not a bear, and that shall take of the least of the flock of that great and good shepherd. Oh, that we may desire then, and that we also may be brought into thy fold, and that thou mayest do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Oh, teach us, Lord, lead us, and take us away from all that would hinder us from entering into thy kingdom. Look upon young and old together. Thou knowest all that does come against thy own work, all the devices of the prince of darkness, which are multiplied in all of his wickedness and his deceitfulness in the days in which we live, because he is of many thousands of years already taught by all the experience which he may receive, and because he is not only going about as a roaring lion, but he goes about as an angel of light, and then especially in our days, to deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. O God of heaven and of earth, thou who art able to put a fence and a wall about us and about our children, we do beseech thee that thou mayest look upon us in and through thy dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, because it all must come from thee. Oh, it is such a one-sided work. And thou art so good, and thou art so right in all that thou doest. Oh, give us to acknowledge it, because if thou wouldst cast us into the bottom of that pit, it would be so righteous on thy side. Oh, then we could only say that it is well deserved. But Lord, mercy is our only hope. Mercy is our only plea. Oh, we beseech it of thee in this afternoon hour. May it be the day of thy good pleasure to stop us on our mad career, upon our journey to meet thee, and to say thus far and no further, whether we are young or whether we are old, we all need that same thing. Lord, wilt thou look on all the afflicted, all those that have needs that are especially known to thee in the midst of this life. Oh, thou dost bring them, because thou art over it all,
Thou can bring up and thou can bring down, and thou dost often bring down, in order that thou mayest deliver us from ourselves. Oh, that thou mayest so bless the afflictions then, that we may not be able to go on any more in the way that we have been born, but that they may be sanctified for the good of our souls, traveling to that great and never-ending eternity. Remember mothers and fathers, and be with them and the children that thou hast given unto them, our school and all that labor therein, our teachers in their most responsible tasks. Wilt thou care for office bearers, all thy truly sent servants, increase their number, and wilt thou look upon the governments among which we dwell. O Lord, thou knowest all the things that take place from day to day, the things that we may acknowledge thee also for, and yet we see how that there is so much service of this world, and that there is so little acknowledging of thee, and so looking up unto thee. Oh, then it is no wonder if thou wilt turn the good unto the evil. Oh, have mercy thou upon us in the nations wherein we dwell, and turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be saved when shines thy face once more. Look upon him that hopes to receive surgery this week. Thou knowest his weakness. O Lord, could it please thee, and thou hast already done so far above all that could be asked or thought. In those moments when we were thinking in ourselves that it would be his end. And yet, Lord, he is a father. He is a husband. Oh, that thou may help him, and that thou may increase his strength if it could be a little. But all things are in thy hand. Oh, bless him and his wife and his children together, and all those that receive treatments for the body. Thou knowest also where they are from week unto week. O Lord, bless the means, the children in the hospitals. Wilt thou care in thy mercy, and wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted, those young people who do suffer in ways that we do not know, those that have been abused. Lord, that thou may care for them in thy mercy. Remember all those that suffer from addictions. The Satan is so strong, and we are so weak. Oh, give them a cry to heaven, and hear thou their cry in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, look upon us in this afternoon. Oh, who are we that we would bring thy word? Oh, it is a word of God. Oh, Lord, wilt thou look upon us and help us? Oh, that it might be, and that in this afternoon thy spirit may take it. Oh, that foolishness of preaching, and bring it into a soul. Oh, that it could be as an arrow. Oh, that there would be those. Oh, we ask not only for one, Lord, because we are so many, and we cannot miss this upon our journey to eternity. Oh, leave not a hoof behind who are amongst us, who may listen. Oh, Lord, come thou in thy mercy. It is so undeserved from our side. We forfeit all of our blessings day after day, but take reasons out of thyself, and do it for thy glory and for thy great name's sake, in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 135 all the stanzas. Hear this, all ye people, earth's inhabitants, give ear.
all of high and low degree, rich and poor, give heed to me, all the stanzas of Psalter 135.
beloved congregation, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You say that is not possible because I do not have a spiritual life and I am not able to give spiritual life unto myself. And therefore, really, and there is nothing and that I am able to do. The father of the lunatic also had trouble to find life in himself. But he was far from passive. We read that he cried unto the Lord with tears in his need. Do we, congregation, do the same? Or is it necessary that we wait until the day of judgment in order for all of our sloth and for all of our carelessness and all of our laxity to be driven out of us by the felt majesty of the Most High God? The Lord Jesus warns of this. He warns of this in a day of grace in order that we may take heed to it. And those solemn words we wish for a moment to meditate upon in this afternoon hour, which have been read to you out of Mark 9, verses 43 through 48. Mark 9, verses 43 to 48. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So far, the solemn words of our text. Our theme is entering in maimed. First, a grave threat into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A grave threat. Second, a life-saving amputation, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. A life-saving amputation, entering in maimed. First, a grave threat. Second, a life-saving amputation. Congregation, a grave threat. What is it? We read, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. What does that mean? Christ is speaking here about hell having two hands to go into hell. Sometimes that word hell in the Bible is used to mean the grave, because we read the psalmist speaks and prophesies how that the Lord Jesus Christ also should rise from the dead. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That is, to say, thou wilt not leave my body in the grave. Sometimes it is speaking about a very great suffering. We read of Isaiah, and that he also speaks about the king of Babylon, and he says that thou sayest that thou shalt ascend into heaven, but thou shalt be cast down into hell. And that he means that thou sayest that thou wilt rise up to the greatest heights, but the Lord will cast thee down to the greatest depths. But here it is different. Here we are in the New Testament, and thus it is in the Greek language, and the word is cheana, which is a transliteration of a Hebrew word. You say, what is that? A transliteration. That is not the same as a translation. Translation, then we translate the meaning from one language into another, but a transliteration, that is just to take a word as it is sounding in the one language and brings it sort of over into the new language as sounding kind of the same way. And so we have cheena, which is a transliteration of the Hebrew word chehinnom, chehinnom, which is, you can hear that right, children, a reference to the valley of Hinnom, to the valley of Hinnom. So you say, what is that? The valley of Hinnom. Well, these words of the Lord Jesus are a quotation of the words of the prophets. And that is, in the last very verse of the whole book of Isaiah, he says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So that was the prophecy of Isaiah. Who does he speak about? He speaks about God's children, that is the true remnant of the Lord, and how that they are going to look upon the enemies of the Lord, those that did not serve him. But then we read about Jeremiah, how he speaks further of this, and he speaks about Tophet, that is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So that was a place on the south side, just below Jerusalem. And that was the place that Manasseh and Ahaz, in their wickedness, have set up altars to the god Molech. That was an awful thing, boys and girls, almost too awful to speak about. But there in the service of that Molech, little children, little infants, were burned alive. So Manasseh has also taken one of his own sons, or who can even think about such an awful thing and offered him upon those red hot hands of this idol. So a scene of the most wicked, abominable things that were in rebellion against the Lord. The Lord has no desire that man would serve him in such a way. We know that Josiah, in his many and great reforms, he is said to have defiled Tophet. So that God-fearing king has gone south of Jerusalem and he has razed to the ground all of those wicked abominations that were done in that place. But we read, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Thus the Lord, because of the greatness of those sins, was not ready to turn away from his punishment. And Jeremiah prophesied that the days were coming that this valley in that son of Hinnom would no more be called Tophet. It would no longer be called the valley of the son of Hinnom, but it was going to be called the valley of slaughter. And why? Because the Lord threatened that people, saying, where you have slaughtered your own children and laid them into those red hot hands, there I will slaughter you. There I will bring your enemies against you, and there will be great massacres, so that you also will die yourself in this same place, being cut down by your enemies. And he says, here is the place then, and that your bodies will be buried. He says, for want of room. That means that there will be so many people and that will be slaughtered by their enemies among you that there will not be sufficient room in Jerusalem to bury you, but they will have to go down into that valley of Tophet, and there that you will find your graves. But even so, they will still not be able to find enough place to bury the dead, even in Tophet, because the numbers of the slain are going to be so, so very many. Thus, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Their carcasses are not going to be buried. They are going to be laying upon the top of the ground. And the vultures are going to come and eat your flesh. And no one is going to stay there to chase away those birds. Thus your bodies, he says, are going to be left there to rot. And the worms are going to come into your bodies so that they may turn your bodies once again, laying there in that open field into the dust of the earth, and many of your bodies are going to be burned. But that is not all. We read further, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried, and they shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. Thus no greater dishonor can we have for the dead than to leave them unburied. But there is still more. We read that all joy is going to depart from Jerusalem. Thus it is not only going to be those that are dead, but it is also going to be misery for those who are alive. The voice of mirth, we read, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. They are all going to cease. Then there will be no marriages anymore. There will be no rejoicing anymore. But that whole land is going to be desolate, so much so that we read, death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. Thus those who are still alive are going to wish and that they were dead. Isaiah says these rotting and these burning carcasses of the dead, they are going to be an abhorring unto all flesh. And now there will be so many of them that he says that the worms will never die. What does that mean, children? You see sometimes a little bird and that dies. And then if you look after a while, there are all worms in that body. And then if you wait long enough, then all the worms are dead. They're all gone. Why? Because the body is gone. Because they have eaten of that flesh. And now what does the Lord say here? That there are going to be so many dead. And there are so many laying there on the ground. That those worms are never going to die. Because there is so much food for those worms to feed upon. And then he says also the burning of bodies. Oh, that burning that is going to go on and on and on. And there are going to be so, so many bodies. There is going to be so much fuel. If you keep adding fuel to your campfire, young people, what will happen? Well, you say, well, that'll keep burning. It'll keep burning. And that is now what the Lord is saying here. There are going to be so, so many that are being slain here, so much fuel for that fire, and that it never goes out. And that is now the likeness. That is now the likeness that the Lord Jesus uses. He says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And the Lord uses that likeness to describe the miseries, the eternal miseries of those who are lost. And then he says, young people, that all the joy that we may experience here below, and when this one is married, and then we are rejoicing together, right? The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, that is so natural. Or he says, then in that place, that is not going to happen anymore, and I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. And what is there going to be instead? He said, there is going to be burning bodies in a fire, he says, that shall never go out, a fire that shall not be quenched. Death shall be chosen rather than life. What does that mean? Oh, that we will want to die. There are people in this world that also want to die, right? Oh, they are in the hospital sometimes, and then they say there is so much pain and there is so much misery. Oh, could I now be delivered of this pain and of this misery? And then they say, let me die. But then we do not know what is coming after death, because the Bible that is speaking about this desire of annihilation, all that my soul and that my body would cease altogether to exist, because it will be a forever dying, but never dead. O congregation, outside of Christ, and there is no putting away of the wrath of God. But Christ is no more proclaimed in hell, where their worm dieth not. That is not only the body, but that is also, we read, in the soul that has sinned and must be severely punished. Oh, do we know something of a worm? Do we know something of a worm? Do you know a worm in your conscience, children, young people, parents? We know that worm, right? Boys and girls, when you have done something against mother or father or brother or sister, and then there is that worm that does not allow you to sleep so easy at night, and then you push that away and you manage to get to sleep, and then the next day, well, that is not so bad as yesterday maybe, and you push it away again. And then you can go for so many years, maybe 10 years or 20 years, and then all of a sudden, that worm comes back. That worm comes back. Old David says, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Do you know what that is, that worm? Now, what is the only way that you can get rid of that worm? Well, you say, I will go to mother, and I will go to father, I will go to sister, I will go to brother, friend, and I will say, this and this I have done, and I am sorry, and I ask you that you will forgive me. And now, also, you may go further in your life, and you may still remember it, that awful thing you have done or said, but, oh, when you have heard that, and when they have said, my son, my daughter, I forgive you and with all my heart. And then what happens to the worm? What happens to the worm? Well, that worm is gone. That worm is gone. That is now the only way that worm can die. And now, is there a worm, even if it is not against father or mother or brother or sister, is there a worm, and that is in your conscience, or that says, I have sinned against that God who has made me, who provides for me every day again? Oh, does that worm there eat at you? How long have you pushed it away, that you are able to sleep at night and you are able to go on with your work? And yet, are there not days that worm is returning, so that it returns with such a gnawing in your conscience that you realize, oh, that in this way I am not able to die. Oh, there is one way. There is only one way. Oh, that our soul may approach unto him who is able and who is so willing, when we may confess all those iniquities as a great, the chiefest of sinners before him, or who is so willing to say that he forgives all of our sins. Oh, David, he says, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. Oh, that was that worm. It went as it were even to into his bones. Oh, are there those that do feel that this day? That worm going down into your bones. But David says, oh, when I confessed mine iniquity and my transgression before the Lord, he says, then the Lord, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O congregation, the church may not all receive the full assurance of that. No, but they know something of it. They know something of it. Sin. Sin is not able to stand before grace. And what do we read where sin abounded? Grace did much more abound. Oh, his grace that is as wide as the ocean. And then there is no amount of transgression and no amount of pollution and corruption and iniquity that grace is not able to swallow up even in one moment. But that grace is not to be found in hell. That is now what the Lord Jesus says. Because as soon as we enter there, then that worm, he becomes an eternal worm. A worm that will never die. World without end. And now the Lord Jesus uses this figure to try to say something to us of something that is not expressible with words, that is not imaginable by a human being, a misery that shall never end. And that misery, congregation, is to where each and every one of us is going. If we are still in that state wherein we have been born, then this is the place that is described in this way, that the Lord Jesus is warning. This is where we are traveling unto. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says here? He says we cannot die as we have been born. He says something needs to take place between the cradle and the grave. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you cannot die in that state wherein you are? And do you say, but I do not have spiritual life, and I cannot give it unto myself, and so there is nothing I can do? Congregation, we would only say this. Do not speak that way. Do not speak that way. because that is not the way that the Lord Jesus speaks. But let us sing first from Psalter 20, 2 and 3. The Lord in his temple shall ever abide. His throne is eternal, whatever betide. The children of men he beholds from on high, the wicked to punish, the righteous to try. 2 and 3 of Psalter 20. Entering in maimed, first, a grave threat, second, a life-saving amputation. What do we read? If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. No, the Lord Jesus does not say, you have no spiritual life, and you cannot give it unto yourself, and therefore there is nothing for you to do. Oh, that is very far from the language of the Holy Scriptures. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, cut off your hand. He says, cut off your foot. He says, pluck out your eye. So he says there is something that needs to be done. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. What is that? What does it mean to offend? To offend means to put a stumbling block in the way. To put some kind of impediment in the way. That is something that somebody trips over. It offends him. He cannot come to the place and do the thing that he desires to do. So Christ speaks about a stumbling block in the way of entering into life. Things that are in the way, things that are offending, of entering into life. Something that is offending of escaping this eternal death where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Thus do we desire to enter into life. If we desire to enter into life, then we are going to look all about us to see what is now standing in the way, what is preventing me from receiving my desire. Wicked Ahab permitted his wicked wife Jezebel to take Naboth out of his way. Why? Because there was something that he wanted. There was something that he desired. And there is someone who is standing in the way of receiving what he desired. And if Naboth could only be taken out of the way, then he can receive what he wanted. O congregation, this is what we do every day. When we say, I want this and I want that, we say, but this is now standing in the way and that is now standing in the way. And what do? Well, we say, how can I get it out of the way? And we take it out of the way that we may have a clear path to receive the desire of our heart. What does the Lord Jesus say now? He says, if thy hand offend thee, if your hand, if that hand is now a stumbling block, if your hand is standing in the way, he says, cut it off. Say, my hand? Must I cut off my hand? I cannot cut off my hand. I need my hand. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, why? Why? What do you need it for? You say, well, I have to do my work. I need to live in this world. Then I need my hand. Oh, so it is. Oh, the Lord Jesus knows that too. But he says, if that very hand is now standing in the way, is a stumbling block for you to enter into life and to escape this worm that dieth not and this fire that shall never be quenched. Or if your very hand is standing in the way, then it is better that it is off than that it is on. Thus the Lord Jesus sets us to weighing what we want in this life and what we desire after this life. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So he says also with our feet. So he says also with our very eyes. They are not trivial things, are they? Our eyes. Our foot. You say, I need my foot. I need my foot to walk. No, they are important things. Very important things for our life in this world. And what does he say? That it is still less important. Still less important than for the welfare of your soul. And not only of soul, but also of your body. Can you do without that hand for the rest of your journey? There are people that don't have two hands. You can do without it, can you not? There are people that have only one foot, only one eye. You can still come through this life, can you not? If you cut them off, because what shall now it profit us to gain the whole world? And to lose our own soul. What does that mean, children, young people? Does the Lord say that we must literally cut off our hand or our foot or pluck out our eye? Do you think so? No. No, 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 no. No, you may not do that. That would be a very sinful thing if you plucked your own eye out. Who gave you that eye? And that hand and that foot. The Lord gave that to you. And it is a very sinful thing if we would mutilate our own body. What is the Lord Jesus saying? He says that we must examine our own life. And that we must now cut off every impediment. Everything that is standing in the way of entering into eternal life. And when he now speaks about our hand and our foot and our eye, what is he saying? Why does he use just those parts? Well, he is saying that you must not pity yourself. When you are looking around you, and you say, well, does that have to go? And does that have to go? And does that have to go? And is that, well, that's not really standing in my way. No. No, oh, I cannot really do without that. No. No, he says you may not pity yourself. You may not feel sorry for yourself. Or if you would have to take away what is to you as your very hand, if you would have to relinquish what is to you as your very foot, as if it would be to pluck out one of your own eyes, he says, that you must do. Not only those things that are easy to put away, but also those things which we would say, which we cannot do without. Pluck out your eye, our eye that is very tender, isn't it? All that is, if you just someone touch your eye, boys and girls, it hurts. You say, no, don't touch my eye, right? What does the Lord Jesus say? All this cutting off of what stands in the way, you can expect that to be very painful for our flesh, because there are so many things that our hearts are cleaving to, that we love in the midst of this world, and what would be so difficult for us to leave behind or to cut them off. Oh, he says, it is a painful work. But he says, it is a necessary work. Oh, do not forgo that work because it is so painful. And then he gives us a help for that. What is that help? He sets that over against an undying worm. He sets that over against an unquenchable fire. So he says, now you may choose. You may choose between these two. Oh, when we stand at that judgment seat of God, and then we say unto the Lord, O Lord, I did not have spiritual life, and I could not give that life to myself. What is he going to say? Or then we are going to be examined. He is going to say, come here. Let me see. I see you have two eyes. Why do you have two eyes? I see you have two hands. Why do you have two hands? You still have 2 feet. Did those eyes not stand in your way? Did those hands not stand in the way? Were they not an offense to you? Then why have you not severed them? Why have you not cut them off? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me how much you really desired it. How much you really desired to enter into life. That you were not willing to sacrifice all of the things that are in this world that your heart did love. Do you know what he's going to say to us? Going to say, look over there. Do you see that boy? He is halt. He is lame. See that boy? He cannot walk. And why can he not walk? Because he cut off his foot. And that's the way he went through life. So he cut off his foot. Why did he cut off his foot? Well, because that foot became a burden to him. Do you know why he cut it off? Because that foot that agreed with his heart, it agreed with his heart that wanted to go here in the world and there in the world, and that became a burden to him. And then he says, no more foot. No more foot. And then what did he have to do? Oh, then he had to stay home. And he could not go to those places of vanity. There, he took up my word, that boy. With no foot. And what is based on my word. And there I came. And there I touched his heart. See that boy? He has no foot. Oh, does that matter? It doesn't matter. I will give him a new foot. I will give him a new foot. Oh, I will take that body, that mortal body, and I will glorify it. So it will be perfect. Be no blemish in that body. Or do you understand it? That people, for everything that they have cut off for themselves in this world, they will lack nothing. They will lack nothing on that great day of days, because they will enter into that eternal life, O congregation, quickly, very, very quickly. We are going to the point of no return. No return. And then it's going to be said to us in that day, thou in thy lifetime hast received thy good things. Thy good things. How many of those good things that we have received from the Lord are standing in our way? How many of those good things are a stumbling block to us? How many of those good things are an offense? An offense unto us. And that which is an offense unto us, are we ready to cut it off? In order that it may not stand in our way anymore. In order that we may enter into eternal life. What things are now an offense? What idol? What earthly pursuit that you have in this world is standing in your way? What perishing vanity? What time-wasting activity is standing in your way? The Lord Jesus says, for whosoever forsaketh not father or mother is not worthy of me. And whosoever forsaketh not son or daughter is not worthy of me. If they love them more than me, we are soon going to stand at the end of life's journey. It is coming faster, children, than we think. And then we're going to look back. What are we going to see in our life? Are we going to look back on a life wherein we have sacrificed ourselves and our children unto Molech, unto Tophet, the Tophet of this world, in that valley of the son of Hinnom? You know what the Lord says? He says that valley that we are going to, that we sacrifice ourselves and our children, the Lord is going to turn it into the valley of slaughter. The valley of slaughter. Where the worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. There is, congregation, no time to waste. Life is very, very short. And we come to the end of our journey. And then we're going to say to the Lord about that brief opportunity that He gave us. The brief opportunity between the cradle and the grave. Then we're going to say, O Lord, when I was busy here and there, it was gone. What is He going to say? He's going to say, so shall thy judgment be. Thou thyself hast decided it. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own word, and we will never cut off our hand or our foot or pluck out our eye because we love our sin and we have no desire for thee. Oh, thou dost give sometimes helps that thou thyself dost cut off our hand and our foot, and pluck out our eye. O Lord, then that people may acknowledge thee for thy help, who were not able to do it of themselves. O, we beseech thee, wilt thou help us? O, that we also who hear thy word may not end in that awful, awful pit, where that worm dieth not, and that fire is not quenched. Bless thy word, O Lord, to each and every heart. Turn us, and we shall be turned. Wilt thou be with us in the rest of this day? Give us to seek. Give us to read, give us to pray, give us to sing, give us to hunger, give us to thirst, give life in our poor souls. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world, protecting from all danger and harm, evil and sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 325, 1 through 4. Teach me, O Lord, in thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, and that I may steadfastly obey Give me an understanding heart. 1 through 4 of Psalter 325. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.